This sermon was recorded at Church of the Ascension, an Anglican parish in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to be a worshiping community that equips God's people and shares Christ's healing with a broken world. For more information, please visit ascensionpittsburgh.org.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, and we pray that you would speak to us afresh by the power of your Spirit for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When my three children were probably aged about 9, 7, and 5, I asked them the same question that I asked the kids in the children's talk earlier. What do you want to be when you grow up? And my son Jack didn't know, but when push thought, perhaps a footballer. And by that, of course, he meant a soccer player. He turns 30 tomorrow and works in the clean air department for the state of Washington. And as far as I know, playing for Man United is no longer one of his aspirational goals. Juliet knew exactly what she wanted to be. She wanted to be a teacher, and she is. She's teaching Spanish in Charleston, South Carolina. And my daughter Jane wasn't sure. Maybe a teacher, maybe a ballerina. She is actually a librarian in the South Hills. And I like to joke that when I grow up, I'd like to be an architect. It has been such a joy working with the architects who've been helping us get ready for our new building out there. And I think it's an amazing job. I know I don't have the skills for it, but never mind. But whatever you may want to be or to do when you grow up, I think we can all agree that it is very important that we have good leaders. Good leaders in politics and in education, in business, and yes, in the church. We need leaders of integrity who will motivate, mentor, and make wise decisions. Many among us today are about to launch into new careers, new seasons of study, or even into retirement. By now, I think it's right to say most applications for this year's college round are done and dusted, although some folks are probably still waiting for decisions. I came across a story about a young woman who wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she read a question on the application form that asked, "Are you a leader?" And she thought about it for a minute, and then she felt so crestfallen as she didn't see herself as a leader. So being honest and conscientious, she wrote on her paper, no, mailed in the application, expecting the worst. To her surprise, however, the girl received this letter of reply from the college. "Dear Ms. Smith, a study of the application forms revealed that this year, our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." Well, our Old Testament passage does have some important things to say about leaders, and I'm going to go back to that in a moment. But the focus in John's gospel concerns how we can be good followers. Few people dream of how they can grow up to be a good follower. I've yet to find a management book on the art of followership. Let's face it, nobody wants to grow up to be, well, a sheep. And yet, as Christians, as members of the church, we are sheep. And we're called to follow one shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Today's gospel passage describes this good shepherd, and in it we get a glimpse of the very character of Jesus. He identifies himself as the good shepherd, not any good shepherd, but the one and only. For he is, of course, the Messiah, the promised king, the way, the truth, and the life. The key event at the center of Jesus' ministry is the laying down of his life for his sheep. And Christ's death on the cross is at the very heart of the gospel. More so even than his teaching ministry. more so even than the very divinity of Christ. Now, I better be careful, I'm not trying to split doctrinal truths here, but the cross is at the center. Jesus, the greatest leader of all time, lays down his life for the sheep, taking our sin and death upon himself voluntarily, substituting his own life for ours, becoming himself the one great final sacrifice. What a contrast between Jesus, the good shepherd, and the shepherd who is merely a hired hand. Verse 12 of our gospel, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. One mark of a true shepherd in the service of the good shepherd is not leaving the sheep in crisis. Faithful pastors stay with their flocks through the hardest of times. The sheep are vulnerable to attack both from the outside, from the wolves and the robbers, and also, sadly, sometimes from the inside, from false shepherds. And that Old Testament reading this morning that we heard from the prophet Ezekiel is such a sober passage. As the prophet was called by God to speak against the shepherds of Israel, here's what God says against those false shepherds. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness, you have ruled them. And sadly, through the ages and in many places, even today, the church and the people of God have suffered at the hands of those set apart to be shepherds, including bishops and priests who have not learned first to be good sheep, who have not listened to the voice of the one and only chief shepherd. There is a world of difference, Jesus reminds us, between a shepherd who is just a hired hand, who doesn't know his sheep, and who runs away as soon as there's any danger, and the good shepherd, Jesus, who lays down his life for the sheep. Well, in verse 14 of the gospel passage, Jesus says a second time, I am the good shepherd. And this time the language shifts from the work of the shepherd, who protects the sheep, to the relationship of the shepherd who knows the sheep. Jesus says, I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And then once again he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then in verse 16 we see Jesus speaking of the sheep who are not a part of this fold. Jesus says he will lead them also and they will listen to his voice and they will become one flock. In other words, Jesus has in mind the vast numbers of people beyond the people of Israel, those who are or will become followers of Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd for a worldwide, spanning the ages community. There will be one flock, one shepherd, or as we say in the Nicene Creed, one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And note also the double future tense in this verse. They will listen and there will be one flock. And Jesus encourages and exhorts us to be patient with God's timing. I know we want everything to be fixed now. And when there are false shepherds, we want action immediately. We want the craziness in the world, the injustices of the world to stop, and we cry out, how long? And God doesn't wait or God is not asleep. The scriptures tell us that God waits that none may perish. It is because of his heart for the lost sheep, that he wants to bring all into this one fold. Well, this morning we are reminded who the Good Shepherd is, Jesus. We've seen what the Good Shepherd is like. He is good and he knows his sheep. We've also seen what he does. He lays down his life for the sheep. And so I wonder, how do we respond to this? And it's all very familiar to most of us here this morning. I wonder, what does it take to be good sheep, to be members of the flock? Well, I want to offer four ways in which I think we're invited to respond this morning. First, we are invited to know Jesus. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And the only way that we can ever get to know someone is by spending time with them. I wonder, how much time do you spend with Jesus? And what does that question even mean? Presumably, the fact that we're all here this morning suggests that we do want to spend time with Jesus. At least, that's part of why we're here, I hope. But how effective is this? Suppose you only meet with your best friend or your spouse for an hour or two, once or twice a week at church, in the company of 200 other people. I don't think it would be the most effective way of building your relationship. Now, I know sometimes it does feel like I only get to spend time with my spouse for an hour or two here in church in the company of hundreds of other people, but that's not good if that happens. If we are to know and be known by others, then we must spend time with one another. And not just so-called quality time, plain old ordinary time too. And the times I find that I get to know people the best at Ascension are usually not on a Sunday morning, but it's rather in one another's homes, or sharing in ministry, or working with someone on a project. And likewise, the time when I get to know Jesus, the Good Shepherd, comes when I spend time with him. I wonder, do you spend time with God each day? Praying, listening, reading the Bible? How's it going? And there's nothing new in this challenge, but it's a challenge that I think busy people like us need to hear again and again. If we are going to get to know the Good Shepherd, Jesus, then we need to spend time with him every day. Well, the second thing we're invited to do as sheep, as followers of Jesus, is verse 16, to listen for the shepherd's voice. And how do we do that? Well, I think the first thing that is needed before anyone can listen is to stop talking. And I take this to heart as someone who rather likes talking. But it's bad enough if we talk too much with other people, but when we insist on doing all the talking with God, then we really are missing out. So often I find it is when I'm quiet and still, maybe on my own, maybe in the company of others, but when I intentionally listen, that I become more aware of his desire for my life. And I'm sure many of you can identify this. And we hear probably not an audible voice, but we hear, nevertheless, what God would have us hear. And I want to add one thing to this, because the Good Shepherd knows us individually, but he also knows us as members of his flock, as his church. Indeed, Jesus speaks of there being one flock and one shepherd, and so it is so important that we listen together for the shepherd's voice. It's not just me and Jesus off in the corner hearing things. We discern and we hear the voice of God together. And of course, that's part of what our Rector Search Committee is doing now, listening, praying, and I hope you all are praying for them. It's what our vestry does month by month as we listen and discern. And we have a rule in the vestry that anyone can throw a flag on the player any time in the meeting and say, hold on, let's stop, let's pray. And we do. It happens probably every other meeting. But let me recap. As sheep, we are called and invited to know the shepherd, to listen to the shepherd, and thirdly, to be faithful shepherds for others. Many of us are shepherds or leaders in one context or another, as parents or grandparents, as teachers, as employers, as supervisors, as a leader in an organization, as a member of the vestry or a small group leader, as a youth leader or a choir leader. You get the point. And so I want to offer, I offer it tentatively, it's not actually a biblical analogy, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, another analogy on our theme this morning that illustrates the roles and responsibilities of those followers who are also called to lead, which frankly is probably all of us at some point in our lives. Perhaps leaders need to aspire not so much to be shepherds as sheepdogs. How can we be sheepdogs for the good shepherd? Well, as I started thinking along these lines, I thought of the sheepdogs I've watched at work on the hills of Wales and in the Lake District in England, as well as in Shropshire, where I used to live before I came to Pittsburgh. And sheepdogs are amazing animals. And their qualities include being very good listeners. They listen, alert, attentive for the command. All these noises the shepherds make, and whether it's in Welsh or in English, it makes no sense to me. Or maybe they have a whistle, but they're listening. And the sheepdogs are well trained and disciplined. They don't go darting off after this scent or that scent like my dog used to do. May she rest in peace. They know the sheepdogs. They know what they're up to on the hillside. They know their purpose in being there, and they focus on it. They are there to round up the master's sheep. They constantly guide the sheep in the direction the master wants them to go. They steer the sheep away from the danger. Okay, I think you get the picture. Well, maybe we can learn something from the role of a sheepdog. We need to be spiritually well exercised and fit and alert as Christians, vigorous and energetic in our pursuit of the gospel task to seek and to save the lost. And just as the sheepdog is trained, we too need to be trained in God's ways. We need constantly to be listening to the commands of the shepherd and not be distracted by so many things. Oh my goodness, we are such a distracted people. I mean, how many times have you looked at your phone, even in this service? Don't worry, I haven't caught you. It's all right. It's just, you know, but we do it. Whether you find the sheepdog analogy helpful or not, let us not forget the model of leadership that Jesus did give us. The good shepherd who knows his sheep, who loves his sheep. And Jesus, of course, is both the shepherd and the lamb, the sacrificial lamb. So as sheep who follow or under shepherds who lead, our role model, our inspiration is always and only the one who came to serve and not to be served, the one who came to lay down his life for us. The understanding of the average sheep is pretty limited, especially when compared to the understanding of the shepherd. The best that a sheep can do is trust that the shepherd knows best. And the same is true for everyone who follows Jesus. Now, of course, there are many people today who don't know Jesus, let alone listen to him. And that's not to say that they've necessarily considered the claims of Christ and rejected them. Rather, for many people, it never occurs to them that Jesus or the church has anything to do with their lives, their needs, their concerns. And so rather than listening to Christ, people listen to all sorts of voices. People put their trust in their own strength or achievements, or they look for fulfillment in other ways, including all kinds of spiritualities. And though some of these things may satisfy for a time, they can never provide lasting satisfaction and the security and safety that only Jesus can give. And there's no shortage of those who would try and draw folks away from Christ, of thieves and robbers who would harm the sheep. One of the tasks of sheep who do know and follow the Good Shepherd is to invite others into the safety of the sheepfold and to tell others about the Good Shepherd. Well, let me sum up. Our response then is first, to know the shepherd. Second, to listen to the shepherd. Third, to be faithful shepherds or sheepdogs for others. And the fourth and final application I want to suggest this morning is that we are to love the shepherd Now, I imagine that we're maybe at very different stages of our spiritual journeys. We've come here with all kinds of different things on our hearts and in our lives today. Some may be feeling tired and weary. Others may feel burdened by worries and concerns for yourself or a loved one. And there may be some here who are even today walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And in those very familiar words of Psalm 23 today, we recognize Jesus, who promises to lead us into green pastures and beside still waters. He is the good shepherd, who, regardless of the raging storms all around, offers us peace within. He is the one who longs to restore our very souls. Jesus, the good shepherd, loves us and invites us to love him and trust him. In his book, Bread for the Journey, Henri Nouwen writes, "We often confuse unconditional love with unconditional approval. God loves us without conditions, but does not approve of every human behavior. God doesn't approve of betrayal, violence, hatred, suspicion, and all the other expressions of evil, because they all contradict the love of God that he wants to instill in the human heart. Evil is the absence of God's love. Evil does not belong to God." And he continues, "God's unconditional love means that God continues to love us even when we say or think evil things. God continues to wait for us as a loving parent waits for the return of a lost child. It is important to hold on to the truth that God never gives up loving us, even when God is saddened by what we do. That truth will help us to return to God's ever-present love." End quote. And so, let me finish this morning. Whether you feel far off or near to God, you are invited afresh to know the shepherd, to listen to the shepherd, to be a faithful shepherd for others, and to love Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I pray that God would give us his grace day by day to see Jesus more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly. Amen.